So what is time? I mean, it's a question that's so big, so fundamental, we hardly ever stop to actually ask it. But think about it. It runs every single moment of our lives, from our very first breath to our last. But as we're about to find out, the answer isn't as simple as just, you know, looking at a clock. It's something that's woven deep into our minds, our cultures, and the very fabric of the universe itself.
You know this feeling, right? An amazing vacation just vanishes in what feels like a day, but a 5-minute wait for the bus can feel like an absolute eternity. This really personal, super flexible experience of time, well, that's our first big clue that the real clock isn't hanging on the wall. It's ticking away inside our own heads.
And hey, this isn't some new puzzle we just dreamed up. Almost 1,700 years ago, the philosopher St. Augustine of Hippo just nailed this paradox. We feel time, we live in it, we know it, but the second someone asks us to explain it, it just slips right through our fingers. His words are a great reminder that we are not the first people to wrestle with this thing. It's an ancient enigma.
Okay, so to start untangling this whole mystery, we're not going to look at a clock, and we're not going to look at the stars. We're going to start right here, inside our own minds. Because really, that's where time, as we experience it, is actually born.
So why does our internal clock get so weird? Well, on one hand, you've probably noticed that time seems to speed up the older we get. Psychologists have a theory about this. For one, a year is a much smaller piece of your life when you're 40 than when you're 4. Plus, our adult lives are often full of routines, not new memory-making experiences. But then, on the other hand, time can stretch out. In a crisis, like a car accident, your brain kicks into overdrive, just soaking up information. It creates these super dense memories, so when you look back, it feels like the whole thing happened in slow motion.
And this idea brings us right back to St. Augustine. He was way ahead of his time, arguing that time isn't some external thing floating around out there, but what he called a distension of the mind. And when you think about it, it's a pretty brilliant idea. The past isn't really out there. It exists only in your memory. The future isn't here yet. It's only in your expectations. And the present? Well, that's just a razor-thin moment that happens to be holding your attention. So in other words, time for us is something our mind builds.
Another philosophical giant, Immanuel Kant, took this idea and ran with it. He argued that time isn't something we perceive in the world at all. Instead, it's like the pre-installed operating system for our brain. It's the fundamental software our mind uses to organize every single thing we see, hear, and feel. We don't see time, we see through it.
Okay, so time is personal, we've got that. But wait a minute, if my internal clock is different from your clock, how does society even function? Well, it's because we also live by a social clock, a kind of shared agreement on time that shapes entire cultures.
Now, on a really big scale, cultures have basically thought about time in two totally different ways. In a lot of the Western world, we see time as linear, like a one-way street. There's a start, a middle, and an end. It moves forward, and you can't go back. But in many Eastern and ancient cultures, time is cyclical. It's like a great big wheel, a series of repeating patterns and ages where history kind of echoes itself. And neither one is right or wrong. They're just completely different ways of looking at reality.
And these big ideas really shape our daily lives. You can often break cultures down into either monochronic or M-time, where time is seen like a commodity. You can save it, spend it, or waste it. Here, schedules and being on time are king. Then you have polychronic or P-time cultures. Here, time is way more fluid. Being on time is much less important than human relationships, and juggling a bunch of things at once is just how things get done.
You know this one. This phrase is the absolute ultimate expression of M-time culture. It perfectly captures that idea of time as this limited, precious resource that you have to manage perfectly to get the most out of it. Every single minute has a price tag.
And here is the perfect flip side. This Trinidadian saying totally embodies that P-time view. It's not about being lazy. It's about putting the natural flow of life and relationships ahead of the strict demands of a clock. The party starts when everyone's there and ready, not when the invitation says so.
All right, so we've gone from inside the mind to all around the world, and now we are zooming all the way out. I mean, way out, to the biggest scale you can imagine. The cosmos itself. But is there a true universal clock ticking away that governs everything? For that, we got to turn to physics.
For centuries, the answer seemed to be a simple yes. Isaac Newton gave us this idea of absolute time. He basically pictured a master clock for the whole universe, just ticking away at the exact same steady rate for everyone, everywhere. It's simple, It makes sense, and honestly, it's how most of us still think about time.
But then, in the 20th century, one person with one revolutionary idea just shattered that whole picture. What if there is no master clock? What if time itself is flexible? What if it's personal, depending on how fast you're moving and where you are in the universe?
And this, of course, was the genius of Albert Einstein. He showed us that space and time are not two separate things at all. They're actually woven together into a single four-dimensional fabric called space-time. And get this, this fabric isn't stiff. It can be bent, stretched, and warped by heavy objects. This idea completely flipped our understanding of the universe on its head.
Okay, hang on, because this is where things get truly wild. Einstein proved that your experience of time totally depends on your situation. If you were to travel near the speed of light, your clock and your own body would age much slower than everyone back on Earth. If you got close to the massive gravity of a black hole, time for you would stretch out and almost stop completely. This isn't science fiction, folks. This is a proven fact of the universe called time dilation. Newton's universal clock? It was gone. Time, it turns out, is relative.
Okay, let's take a breath. We've looked at time through psychology, through culture, and through physics, three very different ways of seeing it. So where does that leave us? How in the world can we weave all these threads together?
I think the biggest takeaway here is that time isn't just one thing. It's not that simple. It's way more like a complex, beautiful tapestry. It's that subjective feeling your brain creates with memory and expectation. It's the shared social contract that lets us build societies. And it's a fundamental dimension of the universe, locked together with space, that can literally be bent by speed and gravity. And the crazy part is, all of these things are true at the exact same time.
And all of this leaves us with one final, absolutely mind-bending question to chew on. Our most basic gut feeling about time is that it flows, right? It moves in one direction, from past to future. But according to some physicists, it's possible that all of time, the past, the present, and the future, all exists simultaneously. So is that undeniable feeling of time marching forward just an illusion created by our minds? Something to think about.